4447 Elk Development LLC.
This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for solar arrays to be located on certain parcels of land lying and being in Broad Creek 100, Sussex County, containing 51.83 acres more or less. The properties are lying on the east side of River Road, which is Sussex County Route 490, at the intersection of Morgan Branch Road and River Road, which is Sussex County Route 490. 911 address is not available, and the tax parcel ID is District 132, Map 1, Parcel 5.00, and District 132, Map 6, Parcel 78.03, submitted into the record. Mr. Chairman, we have a copy of the applicant's conceptual site plan, we have a copy of the applicant's exhibits, we have a copy of the DLDOT service level evaluation response, we have a copy of the staff analysis, we have a copy of the applicant's decommissioning plan. We've received zero letters in support, zero letters in opposition, and one mail return, thank you. And the difference in the short title, Mr. Chairman, is a result of a change in naming practices. So some of the items on the agenda are solar farms, and some are solar arrays. About a few months ago, we switched.
Okay, Mr. Fuqua, once again.
I believe Mr. Riley, Councilman Riley, was not fond of the term solar farm.
Well, we have a fundamental disagreement about that, but he is certainly privileged to have that request. I personally think we're harvesting the sun. I mean, that's what farmers get paid to do, is harvest, right? So I just thought it was appropriate, but we're all entitled to our opinion.
Okay, this is conditional use 2447, let me make sure I'm on the right one. This is the application, the Morgan Branch application. So, and to the, again, my prior statements that I've made for the record, this land is located south of Morgan Branch Drive, which is just a drive off of River Road, west of Blades. The parcel contains approximately 51 acres, of which approximately 40.7 acres are going to be leased by the applicant for the solar facility. Amy, can you blow that up a little bit?
What was that acreage again, Mr. Fuqua? I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Which?
What was the acreage again?
Approximately 51 acres and about 40.7 are being leased.
Okay.
The land to the east and south are mostly agricultural lands or wooded. To the west is the Hillendale subdivision, which is located along the western boundary of the site. Hillendale is, you know, an established community that was built just about the time I moved to Sussex County back in 1970s, as I recall. The land to be leased is made up of agricultural land and also woodlands. It's zoned AR1. It's located in a low-density area under the future land use map plan, and that's the same as all the adjacent lands in that area. Again, Jamie, if you can put that site plan up for this one. Again, as with the other application, the access road, this is the Morgan Branch Road that I mentioned, it's just a short drive. The access road would be from that site across the property back to here. That would be, again, a 16-foot gravel drive that would go to a turnaround next to two 8-by-20-foot equipment pads. On the north and the east, the closest solar array would be 70.4 feet from the property line. So that's on the northeast. On the west, this is the property line that borders the Hillendale community. The closest solar array would be approximately 228 feet from the closest dwelling in Hillendale. and there would either be a 25-foot wide landscape buffer or an existing wooded buffer around the entire solar facility area. And what I want to do, I'm just going to walk through the perimeter of the site here to explain the buffer, just so there is no confusion about that. On the north, which again is right in here, will be a new 25-foot landscape buffer, or there'll be 25-foot buffer of existing woodlands. On the east, there'll be a minimum of a 25-foot landscape buffer where there's currently open field. And there's an area in here which you can't really see on this very well, but there's an area of woods in here that will be removed. Now, where that woods is located, there'll be a 50-foot buffer of the existing trees remaining that will not be removed. So where there's open farm field now, there'll be a 25-foot landscape buffer. Where the woods exist now, there'll be a 50-foot buffer made up of the existing woodlands. On the south, again, down here, the 25-foot landscape buffer would remain. Coming up the other side with Hill and Dale properties, same thing. Where it's open field, there'll be a 25-foot landscape buffer. Where woods are being removed, there'll remain a 50-foot wooded buffer from the existing trees. And again, the buffer is, you can't see it in this detail, but the buffer is shown on the site plan for any reference. This facility would generate electrical power for the annual needs of about 850 residential customers. And again, I've already submitted proposed conditions. And unless you have any questions, that would conclude my presentation on this application.
All right, sir. We thank you. We'll see if anyone on the commission has any questions for you, and we're going to start with Mr. Butler. Okay. Colin?
I do have one question. So the existing trees that you're going to preserve, is there an assumption that they'll remain there for the entirety of the project existing?
I'm assuming it would be a condition of approval.
It'll be on the site plan.
Yeah, you will make that a condition.
Yeah. Okay.
In fact, in the proposed conditions I submitted,
it includes that.
I said the buffers will be, and I tried to summarize it, and again I referred to the site plan because I think that's the easiest way to nail it down.
Thank you.
I have no questions. Thank you.
Staff, Mr. Whitehouse?
None for me, thank you.
Okay. None for me. None, thanks.
All right, Mr. Fuqua, we'll take a seat nearby. We'll see if there's anyone here with an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of conditional use number 2447 Elk Development LLC? In favor, yes, come on up. Come up to the mic and give us your name, and you may have the floor.
Hi, I'm Kathleen Sippler, and I think this thing's on.
It's on. You're good.
So I just wrote it down. It's easier for me. So my name is Kathy Sippler. My father is the one that bought this land 50 years ago, around thereabout, give or take a few more acres, because he had built many homes on that farm. And, you know, the first house that he built, my brother lived in, and then we moved in a little further and built another house where I was born. So it's been in the family for many years. He purchased this land with the intent to live on it, which we did. My brother still lives out on that farm. Used it for future income, retirement, and long-term care needs. Both my parents are well into their 80s now and are not in really good health. So my brother and I do quite a bit of taking care of them. The farm was used to grow corn, I believe, and sorghum. I remember that as a kid. They had it, you know, farmed for a long time. My dad leased it out. And the goal is to basically maintain this land in our family and use it to the maximum potential for us, my mom, in their future retirements as well. He had, you know, intended on trying to develop it at one point, you know, maybe build some homes on it, but a subdivision, but because of the layout of it, it just wasn't feasible or to even have a real entrance for anything like that. So it sat for a long time without any interest, and he just continued to lease it out and have it farmed. So as a result, we just considered other options to diversify our revenue stream and, you know, considered, you know, solar as an answer to that. It's sustainable. It's a long-term revenue and provides the needs that my father intended when he originally purchased that land. So I do want to thank Pivot for their involvement and their assistance in this, and hopefully will be an important part of Seaford for the next 40-some years. So that's all I have to say.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yep, thank you. Anyone else like to speak in favor? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to conditional use number 2447? Okay, we'll start with the lady right up here, and then, sir, you'll be next.
Good afternoon. My name is Billy Davenport, and my husband, Eric Davenport, is in the audience as well. We are opposed to this initiative with the solar arrays and the conditional grant, conditional use of turning the land from AR1 agriculture residential for this conditional use. Property owners and families who live near the surrounding areas bought the properties in that location due to the location of the property and the zonings around the properties. On this map, we are off, up in this corner right here, this is our property. We own the, we own 13 acres and four poultry houses back in the upper right-hand corner. So when we bought the farm, Mr. Simpler, it was to Mr. Jernigan, then Mr. Simpler owned it before that. So this property has been in this area with only like several property owners, only like three, and we're the third, and we've been there almost 20 years. People in Hillendale bought their properties back in the 70s because of where it's located. And I think that putting the solar arrays on this land is not going to be, it's not going to beautify what we, as property owners, have sought. We sought this property, these properties, to for the beauty that it has. And installing these solar arrays will take away that beauty. In Kent County, I'm sure you're aware, 2021, after months of public concern and hearings of use of land in Kent County for solar panels, Levy Court commissioners approved new restrictions that ban massive solar projects on farmland. These ordinances include new large-scale farms, those greater than 50 acres on agricultural land. They are now confined to land that is zoned for general business, which preserves the farmland in Delaware. Solar projects need to be limited to industrial areas and general business areas, not agricultural residential areas. There's a negative impact on our community. It'll have a huge negative impact. It'll impact the wildlife, the trees that they're talking about tearing down, acres of trees tearing down. The solar panels will hurt the ecosystem. They'll kill the natural habitat by cutting down the trees, the plants, the bushes that provide the oxygen. They'll kill the ants and the insects and other animals that inhabit that area because their wildlife homes will be destroyed. Large-scale land clearing impacts local vegetation and wildlife, habitat loss, and disruption of rainfall and drainage. We are right near the Nanticoke River, so this will have an effect on the Nanticoke River as well. According to the World Health Organization, large-scale solar farms impact the health of people in the surrounding areas. The range of symptoms include headaches, fatigue, skin rashes, sleep disturbances. As Mr. Fuqua said, it does have a humming noise from the inverters. And there is an increased risk of cancer due to exposure to high-frequency radiation. At minimum, large-scale solar arrays should be 1.2 miles away from residential areas, according to the World Health Organization.
The distance of the proposed solar arrays is far less than 1.28 miles. According to emfrisks.com, solar panels are disruptive, as Mr. Fuqua said, especially at night. The panels emit a humming noise, and bright lights can keep people up at night, disrupting the natural environment, sleeping habitats of the current property owners, the taxpayers of Sussex County. Also, according to farmandenergyinitiative.org, in 2021, farmland in the U.S. is shrinking due to industrial development. With the accelerating disruptions of climate change, it is particularly concerning that farmland being converted to other uses at a time that is needed more than ever for food production and environmental support throughout the ecosystem services. By allowing this solar array project in the conditional grant use of land, it'll add stress to crops and livestock while increasing soil erosion, soil degradation, and insect pests. The land is being proposed to have its zoning change from AR1 that's currently being used for crops, as Ms. Simpler said. There's a local farmer that farms the land. He sells his crop to Dogfish Head Brewery, one of the main businesses in Sussex County. He also sells his crops to local poultry companies. All those companies depend on his supply of crops. Any change of zoning ordinance to the Broad Creek 100, the properties on the east side of River Road, SCR 490 at the intersection Morgan Branch Road and River Road, those tax map parcels will have a negative impact all around, and we'll continue to oppose this initiative. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, who else would like to speak in opposition? Yes, sir, come on up.
Ma'am, if we could, I don't know how organized your comments are, but could we make those part of the record?
Yeah, I have a copy.
Okay, if you could give those to Mr. Whitehouse, if you get a chance.
Hi, my name is John Kisser. My wife and I live at 7808 Morgan Branch Drive, directly adjacent to the proposed solar farm. Now, when I went online, this was not the site plan that was online.
I think it's twisted upside down, because it took me a minute to figure it out, too. What's online? Different angle.
It's
what's online, I think, is the same plan.
No, it's my just house is still up here, and the site plan online has solar panels going all up into this direction. Did not have all this landscape buffered on it, and only have landscape buffer up here.
Yeah, I wish somebody should.
Yeah.
You can step. The application was actually filed about a year ago, I guess. And so the original site plan is about 13 months old. The county did enact an ordinance, and I think this applicant, as well as other applicants, have tried to conform as best they could with the new requirements that the county enacted. So, yeah, the site plan has been modified. It's created more buffer. I think it's removed things from further south, away from where your home is. Again, I think it was increased buffer is the main thing, but that's why the site plan's different.
Okay. All right. and I apologize if I repeat something that Mrs. Davenport said, because I was having a little trouble hearing her. But
okay.
One of the things that you have a problem with is the electromagnetic radiation that comes off of the solar farms. And while it may not affect me now, or my wife does have an internal pacemaker, other people in the area who may have internal pacemakers may have issues with that. forests offer immense benefits that have nothing to do with carbon sequestration, including by serving as critical habitat for native flora and fauna, filtering drinking water, preventing erosion, providing scenic and recreational benefits to millions of people. And the last thing I just wanted to say was, while solar farms are a good solution to reducing greenhouse gases, they should be relegated to commercial areas which have previously been developed and not placed in areas that will destroy forests, take up farmland, and not infringe on health and welfare of residential areas.
All right, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Anyone else like to speak in opposition? Yes, sir, come on up.
I think you just turned it off.
Turned it off?
Yeah.
There you go.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, as last...
Your name is?
I'm sorry. My name's Greg Fisher. I live at 7763 Grace Circle in Hillendale.
Okay.
And been there 26 years. The last gentleman, yes, this was very confusing when this came up because all along we've seen this original site plan, not the revamped site plan.
Right.
So that kind of puts a couple holes in my presentation here, but I did want to say a few things.
Okay.
Everyone I've talked to, and only as I counted on the card that went out here, only 19 residents got this card because they were within that 200-foot buffer zone that you get a card in the mail.
Right.
I did not know anything at all up until I got the card October 11th about this project.
But somehow you found out.
I found out because I got
here.
The card.
Okay, good. Well, that card did what it was supposed to do.
Yes. So, in saying that, I did my own little survey because of, obviously, there's only a few people here in opposing this, that the scaling, there's actually, if you use the, I used a 1,600 square foot or 1,600 foot radius around the property, there's approximately 151 homes, plus or minus. And that might be why, since a lot of people didn't get this card, why we don't have a bigger turnout here. The buffer zone, according to the new map, doesn't really affect me because if you look, I'm number four on the site plan. But there's a couple other things here that I had questions regarding if somebody can answer about the buffer zone. Actually, if the trees that die off, hopefully naturally, be replaced, and or will the remaining trees be removed if they damage some panels? It looks like I said, in the buffer zone, the panels aren't right up against it now, so.
Well, the buffer zones would be required. They would be a requirement, so they would also be required to be maintained. In other words, the buffer has to remain. It has to remain in good order and with live trees. And
okay. I'll be brief. One of the other reasons that I'm here is flooding. I see no tax ditches or stormwater retention ponds on the plans. I have dated photos showing floodwaters coming off that property onto my property twice in the last 26 years. With the new hardscape components that they're installing, I'm wondering why there wasn't a concern brought up about flooding. Next, I would just say the noise, as some of the other ones, I won't try to be repeating what they said, but this again, the old plan showed one of these electrical 10 by 27 foot pads within 150 feet of my home. They do make a clicking noise, transformer noise, as I read. I'm not an expert, but as I read, converting DC power to AC power and such, and then you have cooling fans and the like making some noise. But anyhow, I just wondered if there was quite a bit of noise, if there would be sound barriers installed by Pivot Energy, one of the other questions. And I guess last but not least, like I said, this presentation is very, very muted now. I believe there's a place for solar energy. I really do. But I don't believe that this site, beside and surrounded by 151 homes, is a good place. Thank you.
All right, sir. We thank you. All right. Anyone else? Yes, sir. Come on up.
afternoon. My name's Fred Cox. I'm the HOA president for Hillendale. And my original intent here was to discuss the map that's online,
yeah,
which is not this map,
yeah,
and we've already talked,
yeah,
about that. The consensus among the people I've talked to in the community who were notified, and again, the HOA was not notified at all, but is that they would rather have a solar farm than a pig farm or a chicken farm. And, you know, there is a place for solar energy. But again, the buffer zones is, if this is the new current version, it's the plan is going to go in, right? And as long as we have those buffer zones, it'll help. But again, you know, if I looked at the item on the agenda for the next item on the agenda, and there was, you know, 35-foot buffers to vacant fields and to wetlands. And, you know, looking at the map that I have, you know, there was nothing. And I guess another question I have is, it's going to be surrounded by an agricultural fence. I mean, is that a 4-foot post fence? Is it a 6-foot chain link fence? I mean, that's something that...
We'll get a clarification on that. Typically, it's a 7-foot chain link fence.
And what we've been requiring is woven,
and we've been,
okay, which know, really screens it.
Yeah, one, use the woven material so that you really don't see it.
Okay, now these buffer zones, if I heard right, it was 50 foot of under the trees that are there will not be disturbed?
That was what they testified to, yes. That's what,
okay,
I believe that's what's shown on there.
Because I have some,
yeah,
you know, I have to give some answers to some of the residents because...
And
you know,
if it's approved, that would be a condition of approval.
Yeah,
we're,
yeah,
not just taking somebody's word,
yeah,
for it.
Okay.
Not,
yeah,
that we,
yeah, well, I mean,
Fuqua's,
that's
word,
why I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm going to find out.
It would be actually an ordinance that would be enforceable as,
yeah,
such, so,
right,
they have to
we're,
keep that.
And we're certainly glad you're here because this is where all these things come out.
Right.
Okay. And sorry about the situation with the plan, but that's just sort of the way the process works. You know, this application was made over a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And in order for them to make an application, they have to give us a plan. So that plan goes into the record. Well, in the meantime, we adopted an ordinance to govern the way these projects are done. They went ahead and changed their plan to conform with the new ordinance, which they're allowed to do. That plan is probably online now. It probably may,
well,
not have been online when you looked at it.
I just pulled it up. It's the old plan's still on there.
Old plan is still,
yeah,
there. Yeah, that's a problem.
I would also ask that the HOA be included in any correspondence that goes out to the residents whose property abuts the solar farm.
Well, we'll do the best we can with that. What the ordinance requires us to do is to notify property owners, and the association does not own a lot, okay? So what I would suggest you do is you ask your members to keep you advised.
Well, that's how I found out about,
yeah,
this.
Right, and that's probably going to be the way you find out.
Okay.
But you know, that's certainly, we appreciate your situation.
I would just like to add, and thank you, but I would just like to add that Ms. Simpler, I think her name was, mentioned it, the owner of the property, that they want to get maximum value for their property.
Right.
The residents in Hillendale want to maintain their value of their
of course
property.
They do.
And
of course
again,
they do.
You know, we just that's what we'd like. And
good.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Indeed, thank, mm-hmm, you. Were there any unanswered questions? We get everybody's.
No, I think
it's about the fencing. We,
right,
got, we talked about that.
Drainage.
Yeah, the drainage. I think this is a point worth addressing. I think I know the answer to this, but I'm going to let the applicant respond to that question in regard to drainage. Mr. Fuqua, is there someone on your team that can explain to us what effects on drainage this project may have and how those effects are going to be mitigated, if there are any?
I'll be more than happy to answer that question. I'm Ted Hastings with the Becker Martin Group. I'm an associate. Normally with stormwater management, when we're converting from like a farm field into a solar array, it's no longer going to be row crop. We normally put that meadow mix underneath it. not to get in too much geeky detail, it changes the curve number. So it actually reduces the curve number, which reduces the runoff from the site. In this case, we do have woods on there, and it's just kind of the opposite effect. So there's going to be a balance on this site. When that happens, we have to follow the Sussex Conservation District guidelines. So we do have to meet the runoff rates, either meet or reduce the runoff rates from the site from pre to post development.
Okay. For the benefit of the public, let me just ask you one or two questions. The concern, I think, is that we're going to have somehow going to create hard surface that is water is going to run off of. How much actual impervious surface does a solar array create?
Well, typically, depends how you look at it. Is that actually objective? Considering underneath the array is going to be meadow, you can really argue the fact the solar array itself is not impervious at all. It's just the posts underneath it.
Right.
For stormwater management regulation guidelines, we do have to treat the array as impervious surface.
Will there be a stormwater management system on this property?
If it's required, if we need to. If we cannot meet the runoff rates leaving the site, if we actually have an increase of runoff, we'll have to put a facility in.
Again, for the benefit of the public, yeah, who may not be familiar with all these terms,
gotcha,
when you're talking about the runoff rate,
yeah,
what you're basically saying is that you can't have that runoff rate be any greater than it is now without accommodating it. In other words, you have to make sure that whatever's happening today, that it can't happen any worse. You can't have any worse runoff situation, any worse water movement than you have today. Is that correct?
That is correct. And that is in all storm events. And the way it's delineated, there's different storm events. And the biggest one is the FB, the flood event, which is considered the 100-year storm, the maximum amount of rain you get in a day, once every 100 years, we have to meet that as well.
Right. So if this gentleman is experiencing some runoff from this site in a severe storm event today, he may still experience that tomorrow,
but he
will not experience it worse than what he has in the past. Is
that's
that what
correct.
You're
either
saying?
Be,
so your system would have to be designed so that it at least doesn't make his situation any worse. Is that a fair statement?
That's a fair statement.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Anyone else like to speak in opposition? Okay. Anyone on the commission have any further questions? Yeah, ma'am, it's one trip to a customer. I'm sorry, but if you want to tell that person sitting next to you, we'll let him come up here and ask us.
Staff has a question.
Oh, staff's got a question. Well, let's do the staff question in the meantime while they figure it out over there. What's up?
Just looking at the plan and knowing that they're two separate parcels, I was just when I was concerned for access towards the back end of, you know, where the solar array is going to be,
okay,
in case any maintenance or, you know, anything has to arise. Just seems that it just kind of ends very early into the first parcel.
All right, well, we'll let the applicant respond to that. Sir, if you would, just if I'd kindly ask you to just step aside for a minute. We want to take care of this one little issue here. Mr. Fuquay, you want to, or one of your engineering friends, or want to respond to?
Are you asking about access internally within the solar array field?
Correct. Just the second parcel that's farther in, I'm not seeing access to it. I don't know if it is proposed through one of the parcels, farther north, but currently all that's coming off is at the branch road and ends very early into the parcel.
That's correct. We normally just provide a access to the equipment on site and everything else, the same way a landscaper would come in and cut the grass. So you're gonna have a vehicle in there with the adequate tires to be able to drive throughout this whole site without any issues. There's not going to be a defined road per se, but they will have access to the tires through the openings.
Right, so there's no inverters or anything that has to be serviced back there in particular, there's just panels?
There's just panels.
Okay, so it's like the rest of the field then?
Yes.
Okay. All right, sir. Give us your name, you may have the floor. Nope, you're on. You go. Nope, you just turned it off. There you go.
My name's Eric Davenport. And my concern is, what is the safe distance from a solar array, a solar farm? We found out it's 1.2 miles. There is nothing here within 1.2 miles.
I appreciate that that's your testimony. We will take that into account. You might not be surprised to find out that there are people that don't agree with that. That is not a universally accepted principle that you have to be 1.2 miles away.
Delaware code?
Well, there I don't believe there is a code except what might be in our ordinance. Hold on just a minute. Do we have a distance, a minimum distance?
We do have minimum distances, and I don't know that there's testimony that, you know, or I guess sources that could be cited to both sides of that argument. I mean, we certainly have solar farms that are on top of poultry houses all over Sussex County. We have them residential uses on industrial and commercial buildings as well. So
that's kind of the thing. I think there's a large diversity of opinions in the answer to your question, because some people have these panels on top of their homes, in which case they're not any feet away from them. It's
a smaller system, though. I do. I have 450 panels on my chicken houses.
Okay.
It's a smaller system.
Okay.
So the EMF off of it, electromagnetic frequency radiation for a solar farm, is that safe within the distance that we're putting this thing?
I think there are many people that believe that it is. I'm not an expert, so I can't answer your question, but I know that many people believe that it's safe.
Okay, well, we need to find out if it's safe.
We do.
Before we build it.
Well, I think it's already been built in a number of places in the world already, and I suspect that there may be an answer to that question.
But is it safe? There's a lot of things in this world that are passed through the FDA and whatever, and they're not safe. So, I mean, we need to find out the answers.
I guess one could argue, too, that if you're growing chickens that we're now eating that have been exposed to the solar, I mean, that's the same difference.
What about growing chickens?
You're growing chickens and the solar arrays are going to the chickens and we're eating that chicken. That could be an argument as well that needs to be pursued.
That could be.
In all fairness.
Well, good question too.
It could be, but it's a smaller system.
I know you're saying that, and I hear what you're saying. What you're suggesting is that somehow the smaller system doesn't create the condition that you're concerned about on the larger system? Is that what you're saying? Or what?
Larger system, what are we talking, 50.1 acre system?
Yeah.
How many panels is that?
I'm sure it's a lot of panels, but it's also a lot of square footage. It's also spread over 20 acres instead of spread over one chicken house that's at most 60 by 500.
All right, so what this amount of panels put off, we need to make sure it's safe for people to live around.
Okay.
And like these guys said, we bought this land because it was beautiful. I mean, we live where we live.
I'm going to say something that's going to make you angry, okay? But
I'm sure
it's just
it
the truth, okay? You're not entitled to a view. If you want the view, you have to buy the view. You're not entitled to the view of your neighbor's parcel. It is what it is. That's their land. There could be a housing development there. There could be, row crops. There might be a solar field. We don't know yet because it's not been approved. But
what would you say if they built one next to your house?
The point is, I don't know what I would say. It would be kind of hard for them to do because I live next to a pond. The point being that, the argument that it disturbs your view is not something that our code addresses. And our code, you're not entitled to that view. It's nice if you have it and you can enjoy it for as long as it's there. But to deny somebody the right to use their property because you don't want to look at it is not something that is in our code. Now, if you would like it to be in our code, you would need to contact your county council person and talk to them about it. And I would encourage you to do that. And your council person is Mr. Vinson.
Can we find out what the safe distance is or what the distance is
I'll ask the applicant
Delaware
if they have any,
to a solar farm? Because there should
that.
Be. If I'm going to build a chicken house, I got to be within 200 feet from the neighbor.
Yeah, well, we have distances in our code. We have things, and that's where that number is coming from. It isn't, that number isn't
safe.
A safe number. That's the number that we decided was what made sense for, you know, for zoning purposes.
Right.
And we have those distances, you know, for the solar panels and as well. So.
Right. But, well, this was none of the questions she wanted me to ask. What was the question, Billy? Billy, what was the question you wanted me to ask?
I'm sorry, what's the question?
The land lease.
The land lease. How long would the land lease
okay.
be?
Okay, I will ask. They're not obligated to give us that information, but I'll ask them if they want to tell us.
Okay.
You know, because it could be forever. So the decision we're making is not that it's going to be solar panels for 20 years, it's that it's going to be solar panels or not. If it's permitted, it's permitted in perpetuity. If it's so... The length of the lease really isn't something that's important to us, but I can certainly ask them, and if they want to offer that information, we'll put it in the record.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
All right. All right. Ms. Fuqua, a couple questions for you. One is, would you like to speak to the lease? We'll get to you in a minute, sir. Would you like to speak to the length of the lease?
The standard lease with the applicant is 20 years with two potential 10-year extensions, so 40-year max.
Okay, all right.
Which is pretty standard, I think, in the industry.
Okay. Is there anyone on your in your group who wants to opine in the regard to the safe distance?
The I'm going to. That's
okay.
Excuse me if I can. First of all, I'm sitting there biting my tongue because some of the terminology causes some confusion. Okay. And I, you know, I know there's information on the internet about the World Health Organization because we've heard it on other applications and things. But referring to large scale is a subjective term, a large scale solar facility. We know if somebody puts it on a roof, that's not a large scale facility. But large scale facilities are really some of these fairly massive, you know, 500 and 1,000 acre sites. And I think really it's not the acreage size, it's the megawatt, if that's the right term that it's measured by. It's the megawatt measurement. It's how much energy it's being producing. When the state of Delaware enacted this community solar, and that's the word in the law, it's community solar, they capped at a certain, again, if megawatt's the right term, they capped it at a certain energy production cap. You can't have it larger than that. And I think that was part of addressing this concern. As you know, the way we're doing these applications now, you're asking the applicant not to go into too much detail about everything because you obviously have some knowledge, and I realize people that are coming to this hearing for the first time may not have ever heard any of that knowledge.
That's why I'm asking you to answer the questions.
Well, we have addressed this in the past, and on a fairly recent application that I had, we did submit some scientific material about the radiation and the electric current things. And I will submit that for the record so it can be put on the internet on this application so the people can have access to it. It'll appear on the county website. You know, I'll get it to Jamie in the next couple of days. But that's just some scientific information about that is in the record on other applications.
It's not in the record on this application?
No.
Okay, so what we would need to do is hold the record open to receive.
Well, no, I can submit it because I still have to go to county council.
Well, but in fairness to the public, if you're going to submit something for the record, the public needs the opportunity to respond to it. So typically what we would do would be keep the record of the public hearing open to give you the opportunity to submit that and to give them the opportunity to respond to it in writing There will not be another public hearing. If they want to respond to it, they can respond to it in writing, and then we'll close the, then we'll close the record after a certain period of time. If that's, I mean, that would solve the problem.
Yeah, like I said, that's already been presented to the county, and it's in the record of other applications, so that's fine.
All right.
Are there any other questions?
We'll figure it out. I don't think so. I think that was it. Okay. All right, sir. Your turn.
Good afternoon. My name is Bryce Willison. I live at 8039 Armiger Drive, North in Hillendale. Mm-hmm. And basically all my questions have been answered today.
Okay.
Except for one that, who's going to be the beneficiary of all of this energy that's produced? I mean, where's it going to go?
I'll let them explain that.
Okay.
Okay. Anything else?
That's it. Thank you.
All right, sir. We thank you. Ms. Fuquay, could you or somebody on your team explain how the community solar program works? Who benefits? The specific question is who benefits?
Yeah, I think I can address that. The state of Delaware initiated it as part of the bigger picture of getting off fossil fuel for energy and doing more sustainable energy. So the idea of the community systems, which was just a law that was passed by the state, it was only passed 2 years ago. Again, it caps how big these can be, and it has what they call a subscription program with it, that residents, businesses, other entities that are utility customers can subscribe to belong to this system. And in doing that, in effect, they can have benefits of having reduced electrical bills because they're actually part of the system. So it's a way for somebody, in effect, to put solar panels on their roof without putting solar panels on their roof.
Do they pay for this privilege?
They do not. It's free to subscribe to it. It is a limited amount of people that can subscribe, so you have to be on top of it and get your application in and be accepted. And also, there's a provision in the law. I believe it's 15% of the subscriptions have to be for moderate or lower income people. It's required. So that was the incentive when the program was done.
How does the applicant secure subscribers?
Again, someone just has to ask. I think they put out a written, maybe public
notice. How would the people in Hillendale know to ask you about this?
Seth, is that something you could?
Yeah, sure. Sure. So Seth Schaefer with Pivot Energy. So we along with developing the property, we own and operate the facilities. So we have our own subscription in-house.
Right.
And then from there, we have third parties that help us obtain subscribers. So it would be mailers to communities. And it's not any of these four projects that are being presented this evening, if they would be fortunate enough to be approved and go forward and built. And any of those would be eligible for subscriptions from anyone. Like, you don't have to be relatively close, you know, just within the DPL system.
Well, this is just thinking ahead here, but the gentleman asked an excellent question, which is who benefits. What I hear you saying is that the subscribers are the ones who benefit because they get a reduced electric bill.
Correct.
Correct?
Yep.
Is that how that works? Okay. Well, some of these people sitting out here and their neighbors may very well want to be part of that program, especially if they have to live next to it. They might at least get some of the benefit from it. So how can we make sure that they get the opportunity to do this?
Well, I think I'd be glad to touch base with the HOA, the gentleman from the HOA, and go from there.
All right. Well, you know what? We're going to close this public hearing in just a very few minutes, and I would like for you and that gentleman to go out in that lobby and get to know each other a little bit.
There you go. Okay. Sounds like a good plan.
Because if there's going to be a monetary benefit to this thing, certainly the people who should be first on the list are the ones who have to live next to it. So I would like for you to do whatever is necessary to make that available to them. I can't require you to do it. I'm asking you to do it.
Certainly. I think I would just add one thing for the record also.
Not approved yet.
Yeah, so. These
last two applications were added to the agenda a little bit later than anticipated. We had actually done a community event for the two Dagsboro properties.
Right.
So the plan was actually to try to do one of those here between this and the council also. So certainly can.
So in your defense, you're saying you would have already had this conversation.
We would have been looking to reach out.
Is that your typical MO that you reach out to the local community?
Yes.
Okay,
yeah. And,
great. Well, that's good to know, and I'm sure that these folks may wish to have that opportunity. Let me ask you a curious question, because I'm sure it's a question that's in the minds of some of these people. What kind of benefit are we talking about? Are we talking about a 10% reduction in our electric bill, or 15?
Yeah, so these are.
Are you going to send me a check instead of me sending you one, or what? How's that going to work?
Not you specifically.
I don't know. Keep
the record clear.
Yeah, let's be very clear on that.
I get carried away every now and then.
But is it a discount
or
is it a rebate
check? I'm trying
to
put myself in your position and say, as a gentleman asked me, how would you feel if this was built next door to you? Okay,
sure.
I get that. I get it 100%, and I'm trying to get it. Okay.
Yeah,
not me, but it's them.
Yeah, our local office is outside of Baltimore, so we've done several projects in Maryland, and this is our first foray in Delaware, so I don't want to speak for our subscription folks, but yes, typically it's a 10% discount utility bill.
Fair enough. Okay.
I don't know if I'm held to that now. It's in the record, but you know,
if it's approved, it probably won't be a condition. So I don't think we could do that. Be fun to try, though, wouldn't it? Okay, sir. Thank you. All right. Is there anybody else who'd like to speak? It's been a very interesting hearing. Mm-hmm. I learned a lot. I hope you all did too. Okay. Commission, anything else? Any further questions? All right, then, there being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us the rest of the evening to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning. And don't you forget, you got a meeting after this.
But we're leaving the record open for that.
Oh, well, we'll come back to that. We'll do that later. When we refer back to them for action, we'll leave the record open to receive. Well, additional site, the updated site plan is in the record. It just wasn't online.
Well, we need to, so it's, Mr. Whitehouse and I have had a conversation about that. The original site plan was in the record.
Right.
The updated site plan was submitted and in the exhibit book, but there's not a line item for that site plan.
Okay.
Yes,
I had it.
Yeah, we had it from the exhibit book.
Right.
So.
Well, I think in an abundance of caution, we'll leave the record open to receive that, to receive the other information, and then we'll give the public 15 days to respond in writing. If you wish to respond, you can send a letter responding to the whatever additional information was in the file. How about that? But we'll do that later when we refer back.
Okay.
All right, then.